check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Inside Carolina Live, appreciate you guys joining us. I'm fired up for the show today, man. Shaq has brought the coffee and the energy, so appreciate Shaquille Rashad being here with us today. So we've got a large human hobbling his way into the studio right now. I'm glad to see him. I hate that he's hobbling. Landon Turner just darkened our doorway and is gonna sit down and join us for the second half of the show.
In time for the discussion about basketball.
Yeah.
Landon, is there anything you want to share with the people?
Wow.
What a poignant
On the spot.
yeah, man, let me get into this thing. Here we go. Hello. We made it. First, before anything, this is not right behind Alof. I got bad directions from Shaq, but we'll talk about that later. Basketball, great topic. I learned, you know, I did inside run with Shaq for 4 years, hit my head several times. Nothing brought me lower than pickup basketball. Ruptured my patella in January. It's the most dangerous sport.
Couldn't you just sprain something? No, you got to go rupture a patellar tendon.
Well, we don't do half measures.
God.
Want to get the full experience.
Landon Turner, the man, played in the NFL, was also team captain on the 2015 ACC Coastal Division champions, and decides, nah, the thing that's going to injure me the most is hooping with my friends.
I'm telling you, the most dangerous sport is pickup basketball. I believe that now. I used to be a doubter.
Well, I told Shaq during the break, I wasn't going to be that guy texting you, say, hey, why haven't I seen you at the gym? But now I know why.
Yeah, that would be why.
Not a whole lot of working out going on when you've got a robo leg.
No, certainly not.
So Landon Turner joins us. Landon, look, we were talking about the NCAA and just how different the transfer portal is making basketball teams now. It's allowing teams to kind of fix their gaps and improve their situations immediately. That is not just limited to basketball. I think one of the things that we saw last year is that the Tar Heel football team went out after the season and found guys to do better what they weren't good at last year. I mean, we're talking about they brought in a slot receiver in Nate McCollum to play the Josh Downs role. They got Amari Gaynor to play the edge rusher. And I know you as a former tackle can appreciate that.
high school tackle.
Yeah, having an edge rusher.
You put me out there, is probably something that was very wrong.
having an edge rusher come in, and they found some help in the back four. How do you feel like this portal can, I don't know, do you feel like from both you and Shaq being locker room guys in the past, do you think you can assimilate these guys to the program, or is it one of those things that since they're upperclassmen, it's easier for them to come in and find their roles?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it could be both. I feel in the locker room, like the camaraderie can still like be there. Well, it's still a similar experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still in that room with guys that like chose to be in Chapel Hill. So I don't think there's gonna be an issue like assimilating or anything like that. I think it's a culture, like a general football culture. And then you just mix that with they came to the greatest place on earth to play.
Dudes came in to win. So your point is, like, if they came to win, it's a business decision. They're going to be able to.
Yeah, I don't think I see, like, no resistance, even like trying to pull the words for it. It's like,
that's fair.
It just is.
I think it also depends on your leaders that are there. Like, by all accounts, it sounds like, you know, Cedric Gray, very hard worker. Drake May, very hard worker. Mm-hmm. If you get guys that are transferring in, and they're willing to work, and they come in, and they, because when you have two of your best players on the team are guys that are hard workers and disciplined guys, if someone comes in and they're a senior or older player, and they kind of keep that status, they're still working their butts off, they're still getting along with the guys, then yeah, I think it's really easy to weave them right into the mix. I think where people have problems is if somebody shows up thinking they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, they're not willing to work. Like, that's where you have an issue. But, you know, these guys all want to win, like Lana was saying. They all chose to be in Chapel Hill, so they want to do it together.
So we were talking about spring ball, and UNC is doing something they didn't do a lot when you guys were here, about just having open spring practices. We're allowing people to come in and see. Granted, we know they're doing a lot of FUD. They're not doing a whole lot of, you know, a whole lot of actual game type reps, but the staff has new coaches in, Landon. And I want to ask you, and Shaq, I want your opinion too. What do players do differently when you know you've got new coaches, whether it's a position coach or, as we talked about earlier, the Tar Heels have added two NFL analyst to the staff now. How much does that change your prep? How much does that change how you show up in the position room? How much does that change just your approach in a spring practice when you've got some new guys with whistles and clipboards standing around?
Do you want to say this first?
I can roll. I'm excited. I think you see a lot of players with a fresh start to really, like, just renewed energy. Like, I remember, whether it was at a position or you get a new coordinator, and it's the whole entire defense now, but when there's someone new that you get to make a first impression on, you would see guys that maybe came in as a freshman at 17, 18 years old and didn't get off to a great start and weren't seen eye to eye with people, and then boom, junior year comes around, they get a fresh start, and they're a whole new person immediately. They're working hard on the field, they're getting things right in the classroom, they're staying out of trouble. You see stuff like that happen all the time. And so, like, I wouldn't be surprised if at these groups where we have new people coming in, you see a new name pop up, and it's somebody that's really, really, like, just maybe been buried in the depth chart of some before, but maybe they're, you know, this fresh start is exactly what they needed. I know we had it plenty. Like, I can think about teams that we played on where a guy was a really, really valuable contributor to us, where the year before it was like, is he going to be here in 6 months?
Yeah, man, there's something to the fresh start thing, because everybody's got, like, the level playing field, and, like, everybody can like, all the stuff that from last season doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
Like, it might as well not even exist. I know that was the case for us in, like, from 2014 and 2015. We were 6-7 or something like that. It was brutal. Went to the quick lane bowl.
I was going to ask, was that the Rutgers loss?
Yeah.
Shout out to Troy.
Loss. Yeah. just to really end it on a proper note, you know, we got to lose in Detroit.
Not only you get to go to Detroit, you get to go to Detroit and lose. Congratulations, guys.
But the point being is, like, that didn't matter when we came in, you know, new class of seniors, new year. We just, you know, you shrug it off, and you can do that much easier when it's like a new coach, like Shaq was saying. New coach,
well, hang on, let's stay there. So, and again, not trying to, like, pour salt and rip scabs off of old wounds, but when you have a bad end of the season, like you guys did in Detroit, and like this team just did against Oregon, how much does that actually motivate the older guys in the room? Like, is that the type of thing that, you know, coaches are going to say? You know, coaches are going to say, you know, if we'd had one more 15-yard game, we could have beaten Oregon. Do the players actually internalize that? And if so, what does it sound like?
Short answer is, yeah, I think they internalize it, but not in the sense of, like, we got to be. I think you care, you know, and especially as you get older, it's like my shot is getting thinner and thinner, and I don't have much time left. So what am I going to leave?
You right.
Know? Doesn't necessarily mean we're going to go 11-3,
right.
But it definitely means that, like, I need to do everything I can so that I can look back and say I did what I could and gave this program what I could to, like, leave on a good note, you know?
And I think that's why senior leadership is so important. I can specifically remember going into spring practices that 2015 season and having some of the older guys, like, sure, it was, we had a lot of great younger players making plays that season, But it was the older guys in the spring that were saying, you know, after a bad day of practice, guys, we're not doing that again. Like, we just came from Detroit. Right. We're not going back. Yeah. We're not doing that again. And so, that, yeah, there's that kind of mix of you need those seniors, those older guys to step up because they have the memories. They remember what it was like when you stunk in 14 and in 13. Like, they remember those things. And then you mix that in with the talent that you start to bring in from the recruiting is where you start to get a dangerous mixture.
So we talked earlier about UNC adding these NFL analysts, and both you guys play in the league a little bit. Shaq gave us a little bit of insight, but for you, does that, if you've got aspirations of playing the NFL, does it matter to have those types of guys talking to you? Do you automatically think that, hey, this guy knows what the hell he's talking about? He's coached, you know, the a who's who of future Hall of Famers. Like, do you as a 20 or 21 year old that has aspirations of the NFL, can you actually grasp that? Is that something you kind of that you kind of actually can go talk to? Shaq says he did. Shaq said he, you know, he basically would have, you know, kind of moved into their office and, you know, washed their car and all that good stuff just to make sure he was talking to the right people. But yeah, you know, we also know Shaq's an overachiever. What about you? Was that is that the type of thing you would have grasped at that age?
One, I buy that. 100%, no question. I think you do. That's something you do understand, because it doesn't hurt. It at the bare minimum just doesn't hurt to have someone who has that experience, because you have those aspirations, you know, and they're available to you. And knowing coaches, most if not all coaches, like, are there to like coach and help, right? So like they're going to be probably even over eager to like give you wisdom on like what you should do, how should you approach preparation, how should you approach like mentally, physically. Like, it's a great resource. It's a great resource to have, and I 1000% believe that 20, 21 year old me, and if most, like, if not all of us would internalize it and be like, yeah, I gotta, like, you want anybody who's like reached like 4 or 5 years of like college football, they like want, it's at least crossed their mind,
right?
And they like want to pursue that, and they'll have a conversation.
I mean, especially when you're thinking about, you know, Clyde Christensen, that dude is a volunteer offensive analyst. Like, he might just be here for the coffee, but he's got stories to share, and he's got, if he's spending his time, like you said, he's going to want to put some of those stories or give some insight and some help to some of these younger guys. To give you guys a chance to have a little fun here, Shaq, I'll let you go first. Worst spring practice story, go.
See, as you'd imagine, we get an inside drill. So for anyone that's not familiar with it, they take all the receivers out.
You know, Landon's sitting right here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are you doing this just because he's got a brace on his knee and now you get back at him?
No.
I'm so nervous.
I loved inside. That was the best part of practice because I couldn't cover to save my life anyway. So you take the receivers out of the way and I get excited.
Who needs skill position players?
So they send away the receivers and like the starting quarterback. And then from there, it's just like handoffs and they're just run plays back after one after another. My worst spring practice story ever. As you'd imagine, that drill erupted into a lot of rambunctious, you know, there were some scraps. Worst stories were always when you get involved with one and Landon's around. Like, that's not a guy you want to see.
By the way, he's admitted to being a bottom of the pile guy. Yeah. Like, he's absolutely admitted to being that guy before.
When people start pushing and shoving, it's like, look around, find 78, and go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. You don't want to get embarrassed out there.
There's a couple scraps.
And you can leave names out of it to protect the innocent. That's fine.
Oh yeah. No, it's all like it's practice
it's
stuff.
Fun and games. You laugh afterwards.
You know, there's sometimes the guys had to hold hands and run around the field. You know, that's happened before.
A little kumbaya session.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like this is probably a terrible joke, but like I'm trying to remember my worst spring practice, but like I had to do inside with Shaq, so like it's hard to remember.
Yeah. certain parts of my memory.
I was the guy who had to pull. He loved inside. I hated that drill. It's like, all right, well, here comes a...
Because he's usually clean, right?
Here's my daily headache from having to pull to block the mic. Like,
I hate
what's
this
up,
guy.
Buddy? Boom. Oh, that's great.
I never do nothing.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I was injured once. Like, it's hard to find a specific story like Shaq. I was also... a lot of scraps, you know, kind of like, it's kind of a haze. Like,
right.
I know I don't, maybe not seem like it.
We watched you. It's okay. Yeah. the camera was rolling, sir.
Yeah. When I was at the Saints, the trainers started calling me Muhammad Ali. And I was like, Maybe I should re-examine myself. what is all this coming from?
Reassess things here.
I've got one for you here, Joey, that doesn't involve headaches or forgetting anything. Like, we had a guy come to town by the name of Ryan Switzer. I remember him. The first time we
never heard of him.
Yeah, the first time I went into spring practice with him, like, I was never in the on like the front line of punt. I was a shield guy in the punt.
Right.
You know, just run into me. We have a little violence. Forget we jog down the field. The people that were run down the field, I never want to be one of them because
they're insane.
They're insane. Yeah. And some people say, you know, like the scariest place to be in a football game is like getting blindsided or whatever, this position. I hated being in open field because being in open field is where you can get embarrassed.
You're naked, bro. you're butt naked. That's very vulnerable. You're right.
And so I'm at guard on punt. We punt the ball. I the best I had ever done at getting off of a block and getting down the field, I'm looking, I'm the first guy down the field. Like, this is great. This is going to look really good on film. And I look up and three's back there. I'm like, I don't want to be running down the field alone against him. And so I just remember like slowing down to break down. I'm like, just come to balance, drag, like hold on to him and just wait for everybody to get there. And I come to balance, and the next thing I knew, like, the band's playing. Like, we've got touchdown. How'd he get in the end zone already? And so, Joey, after that, I ended up backing the shield on punt.
Yes. It's funny. You were doing the right things mentally. Like, all right, I'm going to simplify this. I'm going to break down. And as you're thinking about this, he's 50 yards upfield.
Yeah. He did no thinking. He just went and scored.
We're getting some good questions in here that I want to hit you guys with in the next segment. Before we move there, I want to ask, Landon, I want to ask you this because I think it's very unique to your position. This team lost some guys in the offseason on the offensive line. And when you've got a prize pony back there like Drake May, who's a known commodity, you had that. You had a known commodity coming in to your senior season at quarterback, and you guys knew, all right, we've got to find some gel. We've got to find some common ground. We've got to get our ish together. Mm-hmm. If we want this offense to click, what does conversation sound like when you think about it? Because now you've got a guy or two that might be a transfer in. You've got a guy that's been on the two deep and hasn't had first team reps. What does conversation sound like?
All right, so this might not be like the most popular thing or like the what you'd expect, but not overthinking the conversation is the conversation, and this. It might be more personal to me in just how I operated, but like whether it's a pony or a mule back there, like you still got a job to do, you know. And like you strip away all that veneer, it's like that's my quarterback. Like that's what those if those conversations don't sound like that, then I'm worried.
Right.
Like,
so it doesn't matter if he's good or bad. Yeah. You've still got your job.
I don't care if it's Drake May or like me back there. Like that's my quarterback. You know, and like,
all right.
Those conversations are like building those relationships, you know, and like learning to like lean on each other, you know, spending time together. For me, the focus is less on the like how important things are and like how important just my job is and like where I fit.
It's taking it on yourself and recognizing your own culpability and obligation.
Yeah. Yeah. And just removing like the trappings of like, oh, I've got, you know, I've got maybe one of the best quarterbacks in U.S. history behind me, or like
it could be. So literally, it could be a trash can back there with a UNC jersey on. Your job is to block for that trash can.
Period.
All right.
Yeah,
that's fair. And again, I think that makes it easy for folks to understand, at least small brains like myself. All right, let's take a break. We'll get right back. We'll do the IC takeover segment, which guys, you're gonna love this, where people ask us questions. And today it's going to be y'all get to answer.
Exciting.
So I'll try to field some of the good ones. We've got some good ones here in the chat. We've got some on the message boards. And if folks listening on Twitter want to hit us up, feel free at @Joey_Powell @InsideCarolina, either one. We'll make sure we hit those. Take a break. Be right back. IC Takeover segment brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt. And remember, best question gets a $50 gift card to Johnny T-Shirt right there on Franklin Street. Get yourself some swag for the springtime. If you like need some new shorts to go over your newly acquired brace, Johnny T. Not that anybody here would fall in that category, but Johnny T-Shirt could probably accommodate.
I get stronger every day. I'm
coming. We'll be right back on Inside Carolina Live on 97.9 The Hill, WCHL.
This is Anthony Elzey, and you're listening to Inside Carolina Live.
So, as you guys know, this is the IC Takeover segment where we take questions from you, the listener. The viewer, the people who are consuming our show today, and we appreciate you being here. I've got, this is by far the best level of talent we've ever had in the room. trying not to soil that myself. But Shaquille Rashad, Landon Turner joining us. So if you got questions for these guys, drop them in. We'll make sure we get to them. Best question gets $50 of cold, hard cash money to use at our friends from Johnny T-Shirt. If you have not been to Johnny T-Shirt lately, first off, I'm judging you a little bit. Second off, what are you waiting on? I've said it 1,000 times before. If you need UNC gear and Johnny T-Shirt doesn't have it, you don't need it. Shirts, shorts, hats, beanies, name brand coffee mugs. They've got it. If you want it with a UNC logo on it, Johnny T-Shirt is your stop. Inside Carolina premium subscribers know you get an extra 10% off the top if you use the code found on the message boards. Fellas, how you feel about some questions?
Let's get into it.
I'm excited.
First things first. let me see if I can go back and find this one. Landon, what went into the I got your back mantra on that team?
Oh, man.
I think Shaq just soiled himself laughing. But
here's the thing. For one, thank you, because I'm going to get like 4 or 5 texts out of that at least. So thank you. Great question.
They don't care
great
how your knee's doing. They want to comment about
this. Yeah. My knee's fine. Like I said, I'm getting stronger by the day. I'll be out here deadlifting with Shaq again in no time.
Absolutely.
So literally, we're on the way to the hospital. I was like, we were supposed to work out the next morning. I was like, dang, can't deadlift with Shaq tomorrow. Anyway,
that's the first time anybody's actually been mad about not being able to deadlift.
I'm telling you. We've been talking about it for like a while. I was like, oh, let's get back into it. We haven't done it. It was exciting.
It was all a ploy to get out of leg day.
Yeah, whatever.
This entire break.
So you're telling me you sabotaged his knee injury so that you wouldn't have to deadlift?
No, I think he sabotaged his knee, and I'm going to send him my medical bill.
All
right,
he said he was good for it.
Fair enough. All right. Anyway, go ahead, question, please. Your question, I got your back mantra.
So that's funny because nothing went into it.
Somebody put a mic in front of you and said, hey, make a mantra?
No. So we were at, it was Georgia Tech. It was a Georgia Tech game. You know, we had dropped the game against South Carolina. We all felt we shouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
We were 2 weeks later, I think it was 2 weeks later, we're back in Atlanta, and it's not going well.
Y'all were down big. It was like 21-0 at one point.
Yeah, we were down big, right? And, like, but we were all still, like, we went into the locker room, and, like, it didn't devolve into any type of, like, you know, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I remember, like, Jeff and Shaq coming, so it was like, you got us? We got you, right? And if anything went into it, like that, like little exchange probably went into it. But when we got back out there, I looked at Buck. I remember I was like looking at Buck, and I just asked him, I was like, "You got my back?" And then I just said it again, and then again. So and then we just kept saying it, and it was like, "All right, well now, you know."
So our listeners are hoping for like this prophetic, you know, just really deep, philosophic from the ethos of my life story. And actually just came from you guys talking in the locker room of a bad game.
It came from necessity.
That's simple, man.
It was pure. In fact, I think it's even more pure. It was just a pure
of
the
moment thing
that I got like no shirts or royalties out of, but that's okay.
They're still playing it at the stadium.
Hit me up. They know where they can find me. I might talk to Bubba. We'll see. But
there you go.
It was a really cool thing. And part of it, I think if we want to like peel back and get, just dig in a little bit, I think a lot of it stemmed from the kind of attitude we had going into that season. Like that was the most, you know, I loved everyone I've ever played with. I loved all the teams, you know, even the 2014 team that I played with at UNC because we like chose to be there. But that was probably the most like player driven, like we forget everything else.
Yeah.
Like we're going to handle our own jobs and do everything for the guy next to me, period.
It showed, man. Yeah. I mean, and again, you talk about authenticity. That's not the type of thing that can be faked. Like you can't manufacture that. And I think it does show up at the end of the day. And you guys saw, yeah, the results that you guys had on the field. Next question. And I love this. This is from Sean Crowley. Sean is absolutely, is as loyal as of a listener and a viewer of anybody I can think of. I mean, like, literally, you know, kind of like is Sean Crowley going to listen to the show today? Well, do bears poop in the woods? Yeah. Like, it's the same type of deal. Sean says, ask the fellas, do you think these guys, meaning this team, need a Junction Boys type camp? Obviously, it wouldn't be. but gotta go earn it type camp winner's mentality all day long. Thank you. And I will say, I think some of that is overblown. But there's also, and again, you guys from the hand in the dirt experience, I want you to speak to that because I think there is some of that that might be a little needed.
We are going to be a dichotomy in this, I think.
Really? Did you just call Shaq a defensive back?
No. Okay. No, me and Shaq traditionally have had different oh, yeah. when it comes to camp and approaches
okay.
like that. Please drink water, first of all.
That's the beautiful part about Junction Boys. Like, these guys are literally almost dying because of stupidity, not because of energy.
Please hydrate yourself.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said to like pinning your ears back. And like, as much as I did not like training camp, I don't think anybody likes it. It always starts out fun, for sure. It is always fun. You're back in football. And then the end of the first night comes and you're like, oh, wait. I got 27 more to go.
I immediately regret my decision.
But there's something to be said to just like, you know, you got wall-to-wall ball as a coach used to put all the time. And it's, you can really just maybe more immersive. Like nobody needs to like have any like Herculean Hollywood.
Well, are 2-a-days overrated? Or do you feel like 2-a-days have value?
I think they're overrated.
See, I think that from the standpoint of like there's a point of like diminishing returns where like you're doing way too much. But at the same time, that's physically, I think mentally, there is no point when it comes to that. Like you're talking to the guy that walks around in a shirt and hoodie that say "Make football violent again." I would say, yeah. Like, let's get scrappy. Let's get
all
dirty.
All of the concussions.
All of it. You know, it's
there it is.
but no.
This is why I ask these questions, because I want the real Shaq to come out. Go ahead. Yeah.
But I say all that to say, like, the reason that I think a hard, like, winter conditioning and even harder training, all those things are important is because when you get to the season, everything's easy. Like, you don't want any point in a game. You don't want to ever be more tired in a game in the fall or more sore in a game in the fall than you have been in the past. Like if you can say on day 19 of training camp, both shoulders were hurting, like my ankle was rolled, but I still went out and I executed when we called this play. I can remember like in week 13 of a season when you're playing, you know, for a chance to go to an ACC championship, or you're playing in an ACC championship, you're banged up, you're tired, you know, like all this stuff is wrong. You're just like, wait a minute. I did this in August when it was 120 degrees, also 120 degrees. Like then it's easy. Like then you're able to just have fun. And when the season is the first time you're put in that position, it's a coin flip. You don't know, you know? And so, yeah, I'm all for make camp harder.
I agree with
the logic is
points.
There. Yeah, I can't take that from
it. Like, it is, like, that's the time to work. Like, you kind of, that's the cornerstone of your season. You, like, lay the foundation and set the tone for yourselves. Like, I'm all for, like, getting after it, and I'm all for, you know, even inside, all right?
Yeah.
Even inside, okay? It just, like, the two days, the diminishing returns, like, I don't mind at all, like, if the second practice is, like, you're walking through, like, mental reps is a real thing, right? Mm-hmm. Do it 10,000 times, make it become muscle memory, and that's the time to do it. You know, you don't have class yet or anything. Like, I'm 1,000% on board maybe not the whole hard-o train, you know, because you got to, like, actually make it to the season. Yeah. But I do I love the spirit, and I'm all for, like, getting after it.
I'm going to give you guys both some cover here.
Yeah.
It's up to the staff to make both of those things possible.
True.
Yeah.
That's where if you've got a staff that knows what they're doing, then two-a-days are at a place where you're getting that mental edge, but you're not getting, you know, put on the shelf and put in the ice tub for 2 weeks because of it. Mm. Right? And that's where... That's why all these coaches get paid millions of dollars, because they're supposed to be able to pull this kind of stuff off.
Yeah.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina. Yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Made it PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Question for Shaq. It's from T. Slagle. Again, Slagle's another one of those as a bearish in the woods type loyal listeners, and we appreciate him. Shaq, how hard is it to develop a pass rush on a defense that has struggled with it so much the past couple of seasons? I think what he's asking is fix the defense and then go tell them how to fix it, because that's apparently that's. But I get his question. I think the spirit of it is valid.
Yeah, I think there's a reason that, you know, a great pure pass rusher goes so high in the NFL draft. Like, mm-hmm. those people are hard to come by. When there's a guy that's 6'7" with arms the length of a sedan who's at, like, left tackle, and you have to, like, try to pass rush him, there's only so many people in the world that can do that, and that's why those guys get paid a lot of money to do it. So there's two ways to get after a passer. I think it's with a player like that, and hopefully we've been able to develop some of those. But then it's also with pressures. And so I think that that's the way that you can manufacture some pressure on the quarterback is by, I don't know, really getting a feel for blocking the blocking schemes you're going against, and, like, mm-hmm. pressuring and having some option pressures where, hey, if they do this, then we do that. If they do that, then we do this. And so I'm sure they're in the staff meeting room trying to draw mm-hmm. plays. Like, how do we get pressure on the quarterback? Because I don't care what DB is over there. Like, you can't cover somebody that for 5 seconds. And so, yeah, like, they're trying to draw that up. And I really think there's two ways. It's with somebody who's a pure pass rusher who you've developed to that point, or with those pressures. And I'm sure both are happening right now. And me being the eternal optimist I am, I expect to see 4 sacks in week one.
Yeah, like,
Heels by 40.
Yeah, heels by 40.
38 and
a trademark.
Somebody actually said that earlier. That should be a shirt. Yeah, hashtag heels by 40. Somebody said that on Twitter earlier when they found out you were co-hosting the show. Yeah. Heels by 40. So, all right, let me take that a little bit of a step further. I think, you know, Jason Staples is one of our analysts for Inside Carolina, and he has said he felt like maybe some of what UNC was struggling with last year was the fact that practice did not have the edge that maybe they needed. And, you know, physicality kind of works in there, but there's also a mental standpoint there. What do y'all say to that? Landon, I'll ask you first. I mean, I think your point a second ago is valid. Like, you don't want your guys beat up during the week mm-hmm. and expecting to play a game on Saturday. But also, I think there's a split difference with how can you keep guys sharp and expect them to be violent on Saturday when they're kind of leashed, for lack of a better term, during the week.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line, and there may be even a sliding scale of, like, I'll use professionalism for lack of a better way to put it, but, like, guys who, like, know, like, when it is, like, when the they have, like, less time, like, you can dial back when a guy's like, oh, it's time to go, versus, like, I'm good. Some guys just need to, like, always be cracked up.
You looking at me?
I love that he literally pointed at you when he said that.
Yeah, some guys always gotta be cranked up. And as far as, like, practice goes, like, we're not there, you know. I didn't get a chance to get to main practices myself, so, like, I don't know. It's like, I always like to be cautious speaking on practice, because I don't know what they're doing. And I've got enough faith in our staff and everything that, and just, like, the caliber that we're playing at, that mm-hmm. it's there. So I don't know if you have any.
Jack, how you feel about that?
Yeah, I think I'll also say, Landon, like, we're not there, right? So we can't talk about it. But I did see and hear and have seen it over and over again, like, people saying, and I think we've heard it out of the staff, maybe. I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I feel like I've heard from a lot of different angles that, like, practice just needed to take a step forward. And I think that what's really interesting is, like, you do want to take care of your guys in practice. And I was going to say, one of the biggest differences I noticed when I left college and went to Houston is the speed people can practice at and still not have anyone on the ground. Like, it felt like in college you had to choose between practicing full speed or
there was an
keeping guys
situation
off the ground. Yeah. And, like, if you wanted to go full speed, fine. We got to put on knee pads. We're tackling today.
Yeah.
You go to the NFL and guys will be in shorts, T-shirts, flying around. Full speed, 100-mile-an-hour practices, and nobody's on the ground. Yeah. Nobody's hurting anybody. And so maybe, like, bringing in more NFL backgrounds will help us find a way to that, because it's really weird. Like, people in college are athletic enough to stay up off the ground.
Yeah.
I just don't think you're ever forced to at the college level, because I don't know. And maybe
that's an interesting point. Like, I think that part of it is, like, when you're dealing with college is, like, you got a bunch of, like, 17, 18 year olds coming in. They don't even have, like, in the NFL, they had, like, the benefit of, like, guys been playing for 4 years. And on top of that, the most athletic guys are the ones that, like, came through.
And there's a paycheck attached.
Yeah, so, like, there's a lot of, in the paycheck it was attached, which is what I was going to get to, too, is, like, you know, maybe, like, with more, like, opportunities for players, they, like, kind of kickstart that acceleration, the guys will stay up more. Because that really is, like, that's part of why it's such a fine line collegially, because, like, it, like Shaq said, it's either like when it's like on, and it is like dangerous.
Yeah.
When it's off, it's off. Whereas in the NFL, it is like, there's like actually, I haven't thought about it too much before, but you're right. It's like something you have to adjust to, because if you're acting recklessly, like you're going to hear about it. It's like, hey, like learn how to go hard without going down.
Don't ruin our investments.
Yeah, exactly.
You are an investment. Including their guy yourself, next year's an investment. Yeah. Yeah.
But guys get cut in the NFL for getting too close to a quarterback.
For not knowing how to practice.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
You breathe on them, you're gone.
Yeah. You can be replaced by a guy that is less talented but will not injure our $8 million, a game player.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I love that. Another question. This is really fun. I like this. This is from Paul H. Not sure about Paul H.'s credentials, but I love his question. Landon and Shaq, most challenging player you ever played against. All right. Present company excluded. All right. So I'm going to not allow you guys to duck out on this and answer the other guy sitting next to you. But Landon, I'll go to you first. Toughest player you ever played against?
Aaron Donald. I mean,
we asked him this when he was on the show at the beginning of football season. And it was like, we couldn't even get the question out when I was like 99. I'm like, it was a freak.
Yeah. It was so annoying.
Like, as annoying as a 300-pound
so
fast
guy. Like, you know what's the funniest thing about it? Like, I mean, yeah, he's like, he's definitely gotten like bigger and like more ripped in his like professional career.
Sure.
But like, even like in college, you know, it's like just some dude. It's like, who is this guy? And you like pull up to the game and you know, I've never like met him or talked to him, so like I don't care. You can get mad, whatever. He's like 6'1". He looks like he's like 6'1" or 6'2". The most unassuming.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, this is their three tech.
This is the guy?
Yeah. I was like, this is the guy. And then he was so fast. and I was like, oh, and I was watching film, and I was like, okay, I see it. And I was like playing it, I realized like, okay. You know, I was a bigger guy. Mm-hmm. And like I'm more than capable enough. Conditioning was always peak. It was important to me. Not necessarily the quickest, and I'll own that. All right. But I knew how to play with that, and I would try to funnel people like into like my reach. And I tried to do that with him. And one, he danced around me a couple times. I will for the first time admit that in Shaq's presence a little bit.
Thank you.
But when I did kind of get that going, all of a sudden he's like going tit for tat with me strength wise, and I was like, how dare he? How dare he? This is unfair. Sir.
How dare Aaron Donald go tit for tat and strangle me?
Like,
how
sir. Dare he? He was so strong. It was unbelievable. It's like, and it's
I
like
Pennsylvania's finest.
He was like impossible to double team. It gets to the point where it's like, we kind of just, if I like, in, you know, maybe John Head can set the story straight, but I was just kind of point is like, I'm kind of just gonna let the linebacker be there. Like, I'm just gonna stay here.
We're handing him off.
I'm just gonna stay in this double team.
Second level.
I'm just gonna stay in this double team because like we got a better shot with that guy,
right?
Than letting
with the head of steam, I got a better shot with him.
I mean, it's like professional college wise, Aaron Donald, like hands down.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like honorable mentions for sure. Cam Jordan, I think is one of like. Best defensive ends.
Speaking of practice, I mean that you saw that dude every day in practice, and he knew how to practice, and was still an All-Pro.
Oh yeah, I know, because I was practice squad. Like,
I mean, it was
great. Like, it was a great experience, but you know, he literally that was like the only reason I'm bringing it up is I'm remembering how I was like similarly annoyed because this guy was so fast and just as strong, and then on top of that, as big as I was, and I was like, all right, man.
And like, also, it's like 12 years into his career, played forever.
Like, as if he ran like a rookie. It's like, it's like, you gotta give us something. Give us some weakness.
Where is the edge, please?
Yeah.
All right, Shaq, your turn, man. And you can't say Aaron Donald.
For sure.
That would have been weird, too, by the way, since he's a defensive player.
Definitely. I took the field with a lot of great guys that, like, I'd put up in this category, but there's only one that I was, like, one-on-one with all day that I look back on and still have nightmares about, and it was Tariq Cohen at A&T senior
really?
Year. Really? Yeah, Tariq Cohen. Because
the NFL found him, didn't they?
Yes.
I mean, sure it's just a little water bug.
And what was scary about him is he was everything that I'm terrified of on a football field. Like, I told the Ryan Switzer story. I have never been nervous about getting run over. Like, that's fine. Like, run into me. I welcome that. What's scary is when you're an open field and the guy just makes you look stupid. Like, you take two steps this way and he's running that way.
Oh, you don't want to be the guy whose laundry is just in the middle of midfield on the hash.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got you.
And so that game, A&T, I think, was the first team that year who figured out and really had us dialed up as far as like our coverage and how we were covering things. So we were going and playing everything one way out of a specific formation, and they got it figured out. And so about halfway through the second quarter, I look at Jeff and I'm like, dude, I think they know. I think they know that if they put, you know, these receivers over here, this receiver over here, and they set Cole one over right here, and this, like, it's a very specific formation. But I think they know if they
I've
do that.
I've been found out, Jeff.
Yeah, like, they know that if they do that, it's me and him one-on-one. And that's a matchup he wins 12 times out of 10. And so they do
I love
like,
the self-awareness, by the way. That's
they do it like
we're all growing.
Right.
Oh, no, this, you'll see the self awareness came in on that day. And I remember I came to the sideline, we're talking to the coaches, and they're like, what are you guys seeing out there? And we're, you know, we're still playing well, we're winning the game. Like, what are you guys seeing out there? And I'm like, we're gonna win this football game. Like, I'm not worried about that at all, but if you want to turn on the film tomorrow and see Tariq go for 600 yards, we'll keep doing what we're doing. And so we actually installed a new coverage on the sideline that game. Like, we installed a new coverage on the sideline that game.
This is the real life equivalent of Rev looking at this. I can't make that pitch, coach.
That's me.
Yo.
I've never heard a real life story like that, but I love the self-awareness, but I also love the fact you recognize, like, all right, this is my weakness, and they have totally dialed in on it.
Like, that's the one thing going into the game. I was like, as long as I don't figure this out, I'm good. And it happened.
Point in the game was that?
About middle of second quarter.
You didn't even get to the break to be able to chance to adjust.
No, we have to do this right now. Like, this has to happen right now.
Man. By the way, guys are absolutely just, I got laughing tears flowing in the chat now from you guys for sharing these. Love this. This is going to make for probably a good podcast later. We'll try to put this out. Thank y'all for being vulnerable and sharing that. That's good stuff. That's the type of things that I love, questions like that, because one, you guys are willing to answer. Guys, like, I was at that A&T game. They were scoring for sure in the first half. So, yes, they remember your story vividly, Shaq. All right, let's take a break. We'll catch our breath and come back to the last segment. Appreciate Shaquille Rashad, Landon Turner being here. I'm Joey Powell, Inside Carolina Live on 97.9 The Hill, WCHL.
Yo, this is Denora Searcy, Carolina alum, and you're listening to Inside Carolina Live. Let's go, baby.
Hey, shout out to Paul H. I'll let him know in the chat, but Paul H. is our winner of the Johnny T-shirt best question, because I think we all agree that was good to get in the Wayback Machine there and tell some stories. At least I enjoyed hearing you guys, because I think it was quite funny to also hear Shaq recanting stories of how he was completely and utterly mentally humiliated the hands of
Tariq Cohen. Also, honorable mention to Rob Whitley for saying that he was at that A&T game and backing up Shaq and his thing of like, yeah, no, this is not working. Yeah,
yeah, I'm glad that you enjoyed that as well. Got my steps in that day.
Hit my stem goal for sure. So we want to say big shout out to Paul for the question. Shout out to Johnny T-shirt for sponsoring. And hey, maybe Johnny T-shirt can come up with a Landon Turner, how dare you, sir, T-shirt. Right? Put a 99 on the back of it. Yeah, dare you, sir. That's look, we said this during the break. AJ made a point about it. I mean, if your worst memory begins with a guy that is a multi-time All-Pro and is probably the best three to ever play the position, I don't think you did that bad, sir.
It helps.
Yeah. It's one of those where you can kind of, you can soothe your pain with the recognition that dude's going to be in a very, very medium-fitting yellow jacket very soon. Boys, I've got a couple more minutes before we get out of here today. I do want to make sure we mention the baseball team is, after dropping the game last night to Duke, they are trying to go for the series win today. Game starts at 2. We'll be right here on these airwaves. It'll be on at 2 o'clock on 97.9 The Hill. You can hear it here. And if you're in town, I know the game's sold out, but there's lacrosse going on today. There's a baseball game. They're wrapping up spring practice now. Nice little Saturday if you want one, you know? Mm-hmm. I know some of us are waiting for new golf clubs and can't actually get out and enjoy it, but, you know, there are things to be done out here. Boys, before we get out of here, I want to ask, I think something gets overlooked a lot of times. You guys have kind of done a good job of giving us that peek into the locker room and peek into the mindset during spring practice. How real is competition between an offense and a defense, especially if you go in knowing one is better than the other? Shaq, I'll let you answer first, since right now everybody feels like the UNC offense is going to be the bell cow because of who's taking snaps, right? So I want to ask you, how real is it And you can go back to y'all's stories if you need to, but how real is it when one side knows the other side is better? And what does that look like? And I see Landon is posturing quite heavily. So yeah.
What does
he's waiting on an answer, yeah. I think.
I think that it's really interesting. I don't know any place that I could point to and say it's just like that. Because anytime you walk out to that practice field, you don't really see the offense that much when you get there. Like, your one offense and your one defense, where one defense is usually going against two offense, mm-hmm. One offense going against two defense. And so it almost feels like you're two different teams for a lot of spring, a lot of camp. But anytime you take the field, like, all the competition is gone. And so I say that to say, on the field, you couldn't be closer. Like, Landon told the story about being in the locker room, like, hey, you guys got us. And I can tell you all we were thinking that game, because we played poorly in the first half. All we were thinking that game was get the ball back to the offense. We knew they were going to score. Like, we knew they were going to score, knew we just had to get the ball back to them. But in spring practice, in practice in the fall, like, they might as well be another team. Like, you're going against each other, and you've got the same matchup. Mm-hmm. It's a guy you know, but you've got the same matchup Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or whatever, yeah. Like, whatever days you're practicing, for months and months and months. And so you start to get chippy. Like, he may get the best of you at the first practice. You get him at the second, third, and fourth. He gets you fifth, sixth, seventh. So it starts to get really, really competitive. You start to get really mad, and both of you were trying to win a starting job, trying to go do something special in the fall. And I think that's why you see some of the scraps, we'll call them, in practice, right. Stuff, but it's not personal.
Right.
It's not a scrap where these guys don't talk to each other for weeks afterwards. It's one where they're at dinner together later on. And it's super, super competitive in practice. But the second you walk off the field, it's your brother's all over.
1 minute for rebuttal, Mr. Turner.
Well, I don't have a rebuttal, really. I do agree. The only thing I would add to it is, like, I think to Shaq's point, you're focused on your own stuff so much, you know, and like most of the practices you're separated, like working on drills. And when you come to, I think like the spring game can get a little, because there is no opponent other than like the defense or the offense, depending on where you're at. I think there's a peak of competition in training camp, and that like that nebulous where before it like shifts to the first opponent,
right?
And you're still like establishing like the team, so to speak. There's a decent amount of competition because that's what's in front of you.
Yeah.
So no rebuttal. I just wanted to expand on that.
I think that works. Well, guys, I want to say I hope you've enjoyed your time today. We will see if we decide to let Tommy come back, we will discuss that amongst the management and decide whether you guys are going to be taking the spots, or I don't know, maybe Landon takes my spot and Shaq takes Tommy's, who knows. But either way, I'm thankful for you guys for making time and for your willingness to open up with us. Our listening audience has loved it, just based on the feedback we've gotten so far. But as we've talked about earlier today, we talked about basketball. If you're paying attention to the transfer portal, guys coming, guys going. There will be more guys coming soon, so pay attention to that. We'll have that for you on Inside Carolina. Make sure you're subscribed. If you want to be that premium subscriber, you can get an entire month for just $1 right now, I think. It's not going to get any cheaper than that, and if you want it less than $1, then, man, you're cheap. make sure you subscribe, get that premium subscription. You'll get all the news when it comes out. We'll cover it with all our podcasts. I want to plug my guys, Sherrill McMillan and Sean Moran, will join me tomorrow night on the Coast to Coast. If you're not subscribed, go ahead and do that. Make sure you get that podcast in your feed. But we'll drop that tomorrow night and have all the basketball news you can stand. Then, as Tommy said earlier, they'll have all kinds of reports and comments from the players and the coaching staff today after the open spring practice. But for AJ, running the board, thank you. Shaq, filling in admirably, thank you, sir. Landon Turner, rolling up in here on one wheel and doing a bang-up job. I'm Joey Powell.
One and a half.
This has been Inside Carolina Live on 97.9 The Hill, WCHL.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.